Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in, and as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come and join us. Come and learn with us. God does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge, and it's so sad in this past election that we see when you look at the election map. You know, you see that really most of the country is really fairly conservative. But unfortunately, in those swing states where, you know, it could have been the difference, a lot of those people really, I think, perished for lack of knowledge. They did not understand what was going on. I wish they could have heard some of the things that, you know, we've been listening to on this show, like Judge Roy Moore, and really the foundation of this nation. And too many times I think, you know, there are stages in men, and when we get too comfortable, we're to the point of, I guess, being very successful, a lot of us forget that we have a need of God. So I don't know, this may be a way of him bringing us back to that place where we need to be, which is before him in prayer. So I'm going to start us off like the founders did, which is starting us off in prayer, and I'm going to turn it off on to our co-host, Mrs. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And I would like to share just a couple of things here. We talk about learning our history, and this was something that occurred on December 3rd, 1803. It was a treaty. I also want to talk about a treaty that was thankfully, praise the Lord, rejected today by the Senate, that treaty for that would have required parents here in the United States with disabled children to register their children with the United Nations, putting the United Nations over people with disabilities, and it would have destroyed our sovereignty and as well as parental rights and so forth. So the Senate rejected it, praise the Lord. That vote was today. But this is another treaty, a different treaty that was done on in 1803, and it was ratified. It was proposed by President Thomas Jefferson, and it was with the Kaskaskia Indians, and the treaty stated, whereas The greater part of the said tribe, the Kaskaskia Indians, have been baptized and received into the Catholic Church, to which they are much attached. The United States will give annually for 7 years $100 toward the support of a priest of that religion who will engage to perform the said tribe the duties of his office and to instruct as many of their children as possible in the rudiments of literature. And the United States will further give the sum of $300 to assist the tribe in the erection of a church. And this is the same Thomas Jefferson that spoke about separation of church and state in a letter to the Danbury Baptist. Obviously, his words have been misinterpreted in recent years because this is quite a substantial proof of that, that there was to be no separation between God and government. And Yes.
I'm sorry, since you brought that up, I listened to a Rai last night, and there was a question on, you know, right at the end of the show, and it was where O'Reilly was saying that the man, Thomas Jefferson, really had a philosophy. This was a philosophy. And I'm thinking,
Thomas Jefferson was a biblical scholar. He really was. And at various times he had strong faith, weak faith, probably no faith. But we do know that when he died, we do have his last words that he ever spoke, indicating a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, maybe at times he had a philosophy of religion, but at other times he didn't. So, you know, you can't just say that it's black and white. It wasn't.
Well, thank you for that, Ms. Barber. But go ahead. Sorry about that.
No problem. His last words were, "Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace." And he spoke that twice. Repeating the words of Simeon after he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And so when Mary brought Jesus into the temple, those were the words of Simeon, "Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace." And that's why I know that Thomas Jefferson saw the Lord Jesus Christ before he died. He would never take any words out of context. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that we can know you, love you, hear from you, Lord. We can listen to you. We can read your word where you reveal yourself to us. And we're just so grateful for you, Father, and the relationship that we can have with you through Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Our desire is with you, Father, that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life in Christ Jesus. It's our desire, and we speak it forth, Father, that many, many, many will be saved, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and will not perish, Father, but will be with you forever. We pray, Father, for laborers for the harvest, for the harvest truly is great, that they'll go forth and they'll preach your truth, Father, your biblical truths, which are designed and calculated to bring about a great awakening and a great revival in this land and throughout the world, Father. Our hope is in you, O God. Our hope is in you. You are the God of all hope, but our hope is in you. Not in ourselves, not in anything that man does, but our hope is in you, O Lord. And we speak that forth. We pray now, Father, that you would be with us on this radio show, that, Father, that you would be pleased, that you would be blessed, that you would be honored, for Father, you are deserving of all honor and glory. We desire, Lord, to give you that honor. It is yours, O God. We thank you that we have the opportunity to share on the radio show and that you have given us such wonderful guests, Father, the very best. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you that we have the opportunity to learn from them that you speak through them, Father. You speak truth through each guest that comes on the show. Open our ears, Lord. Open our hearts. Open our eyes that we might learn more from you, Father, through them on this show. And, Father, we would also ask that you would bless our troops throughout the world, Father, that you would protect them, provide for them, for them and for their families, Lord. We also ask your blessing upon Israel, that you would protect them from terrorism, O God, that you would give their leaders wisdom and understanding and guidance, Father, during these perilous days. We would also ask the same for our leaders as well. In Jesus' name we pray, O God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Oh, wonderful. You know, there's so many teachings in this show because really God is over this show, and we are so privileged to have known Judge Moore and started because of what he did, his stand. We wanted to stand alongside with him because, my goodness, we have to be on the side of God. And I love how God, in his word, it says in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And, you know, we see Judge Moore, how God has brought him back into prominence. And, Don, you're one of those that, you know, really has been so encouraging to Judge Moore when he went there to San Diego and saw the people that were, you know, just really, I guess, starving for truth, Don, there in California.
Absolutely. We had him out to Sacramento, actually, our state capital, for a big, I think it was a big 9/12 event. And so, ironically, we were at an old military base, and, you know, it was a lot of people, and he was so well-received, because if you're conservative, and you've been conservative, you know who he is, so... You know, it was nice to have somebody out of his caliber and his prominence to kind of give a thumbs up to California, because all those people are working in the same light that, you know, everybody across the country is, and they really don't get too much of a chance to sort of be prominent in that. You know, everybody thinks we're a bunch of, you know, crazy liberals out here, and so it's always nice to have somebody like him come out and speak to people, and, you know, he had a resounding standing ovation, and people loved him, so it was really wonderful.
And the seed plantings, Don, I'm sure, as Judge Moore was also encouraged, many more also there were encouraged, and they stand strong in the fight, and I'm just really, I want to encourage everybody, since it's this Christmas, there is a video. I would love for everybody to write this down. It's called The Star of Bethlehem, and you can go to their website, starofbethlehem.net. But I got the DVD from Lifeway. It wasn't the $12, I think, and 50 cents. But what an incredible encouragement. So when you hear me so encouraged, it's because I've seen the video. I know the end of the story. I've read the end of the story. But in this movie, documentary, I think I felt like I literally saw the end of the story, too, because, you know, it's in Genesis, I mean, Ms. Barbara was talking about it. He said, you know, God said in Genesis 1, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky, separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Now, I found Ms. Barbara in this video documentary. It is so amazing because now they have a map of the night sky because of the math, the mathematician Kepler, that, you know, found the laws that, you know, God had instituted in the universe, and it works. You know, he discovered it. God, I'm sure, had put it in his mind. But now they know how the night sky in the, you know, when Jesus was alive looked like. So this this man who was an attorney, he just really started off trying to research more. Well, lo and behold, you'll see in this video, but one of the things that they point to and they show you in the timeline, because you could go back and look at the days, but you could see where that Star of Bethlehem was over Bethlehem. And guess at what point it was at the closest? it wasn't the birth of Jesus. I mean, December 25th, a lot of people say it's not the birthday of Jesus. He was a toddler when they met him. But at the lowest point, Dawn, that it was closest and probably was seen by the Magi over Bethlehem, it was December 25th.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, only God, right? So we're actually celebrating what was December 25th. I mean, who? We would not have known that, but God knew that. And he knew how to work the stars to where their movement was just perfect. And so when you watch that and it come back, and you can even download the software yourself and find out, it's just, you know he is the Alpha and the Omega. And that he says, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So I invite all those evolutionary thinkers that think, you know, we have evolved. I do not think so. I think you better get out the Bible. So, anyway, with that as a start, Dawn, what do you think about that little tidbit?
Well, I think you're right. But, you know, this is why this always comes up year after year is beyond me, but I guess because there's just so many people out there that, you know, feel like if you take away religion, if you take away belief, then we've got people where we want them. And it's kind of ridiculous. Uh-huh. And, you know, we fought really hard in this particular country to make a country that was enveloping of all kinds of beliefs and the ability to do so in the open. And so it always cracks me up, you know, like you said about evolutionists and stuff. I always just joke about, you know, it's always interesting to me that they can explain one thing, but there's no line between that and the next thing. And I just always look at it like, well, looks like proof to God of God to me. So, you know.
Another
you know, my father-in-law said something really interesting over the weekend that was so true, you know. And he grew up in India. His father was in the British military. And he says, you know, one of the things that really drives him crazy about Obama and people like him, especially these people that are out to somehow turn the extremist Muslim into, you know, this is going to be our friend kind of thing. And he says, you know, this whole stuff he had done with NASA that, you know, oh, we should be out telling Muslims how great they were because they discovered mathematics. And he says, you know, it's one thing to discover something. It's another thing to implement it. Just having discovered it without implementation doesn't mean anything. So just because you figured out how to add without actually doing it and putting it towards anything, it still doesn't mean anything. It's like having an alphabet and never really writing. What's the point? And there were other people that did that. So, and I thought, wow, that's a, you know, interesting way to look at it because I'd never thought of that, you know, that, you know, it's one thing for people to have discovered something. It's another thing to actually implement it. And frankly, you know, every day in my life, I wake up, I breathe, I walk, I look at my cats, I feed them, I see birds. All that's confirmation of God for me, so.
Oh, yes. That is true. And Ms. Barbara,
may I add just a little something to what Dawn said, having to do with the numbers and all of that. You know, the Muslims from the time of Muhammad in A.D. About 600, 572, I think Muhammad was born, but about 600 years after the time of Christ. But since that time of Muhammad and the Muslims, they have taken slaves from all nations, all different peoples. That's been part of their mode of operation throughout the years. Muhammad had slaves, and Muslims have had slaves throughout their history. And there are those, and I am among them, there are those who believe that you know, many of the slaves that they captured, particularly on the seas, but were well educated, and so they added knowledge to the Muslim population. And I think that had a great deal to do with the number, the discovery of the numbers and mathematics. But, you know, I don't know that, but that is my speculation, and I think there have been others who've speculated that as well through the years, because it is such a backward culture, you know, not knowledge is not imparted in a very systematic or continuous way.
Well, it's the irony of it, you know, the extremist Muslims that, you know, want Sharia law and everything, to my way of looking at this, are actually trying to implement what the leftists and the atheists in this country never want to see implemented, which is a religious-run state. Yeah, you know, this is the whole issue of this, you know, Second Amendment with them, or the First Amendment with them, you know, has been about, a state-run religion, the separation of church and state. And so I always find it so ironic that we're supposed to herald these people, you know, really? Are you sure you understand what they're looking for here? Because it's the same thing you say you don't want me to do as a Christian, so.
Oh,
well.
Yeah.
You know, they're using each other right now. The radical leftists and the radical Muslims are using each other, joining together in the fight against Christians, basically, and a Christian culture. So, you know, that will only last so long, and they think that they know what they're doing, but you know, it could get a bit difficult for some of them, but
I think Don, this is why it's so important, Don. I don't know if you got to see the interview with Judge Moore with Kirk Cameron, Part 1 and 2. If you haven't, I'll be sure to post it to your site, to your page, because it was really very short, very concise, and I think if every American were to watch that, they would understand why we have a problem, because we really don't understand what the Declaration was about. We really do not understand the basis for the Constitution. And I think that short interview was beautiful. I loved it. And, of course, our interview with him last week was another one to add to that. But I think Part 1 and 2 is a necessary thing. And then our interview, I love what he had talked about. But, Ms. Barbara, I'm thinking I've got this book, 1776, by David McCullough. And, you know, today is our day when we normally talk with John Bernard about the military. Well, I want to go into Benghazi. That's one of the things I want to talk about before we end the show. But I want to let you give us a perspective, you know, of what really has gone on before in this nation. So many sacrifices by our military. And I'm looking at December here. And they're talking, Henry Knox was writing on the morning of December 8th, his first letter to his wife in weeks, said she might be surprised to find he was in Pennsylvania. Though physically exhausted, he, like Payne, refused to be downcast. In truth, men were dreadfully dispirited. Many had given up in addition to 2,000 who had refused to sign on again after December the 1st. Hundreds had deserted. Many of those left were sick, hungry, altogether as miserable as they appeared. Ms. Barbara, you know, I mean, things turned around, but it was hard. You know, it was hard, and those men had to go through so much. And I think about what's going on right now with Benghazi Gate or Allen Benghazi Gate, and I'm thinking, have the American people given up already on finding the truth? Can we afford to do that?
No, we can't afford to do it, and we must get to the bottom of it. We must require the Obama administration to be accountable for their actions, for their decisions that they made regarding our four Americans, our ambassador, and those three Americans that were massacred. It could have been avoided. The Obama administration did nothing to help them at all. And, you know, it could have been avoided by beefing up the security on 9/11 the way it should have been. They made request after request for additional security. It was denied by the State Department and under Hillary Clinton and by the Obama administration. So they've got to give an answer to the families of those poor Americans and to the American people. And we've got to demand it. The people, they will hide it under the rug if they can. If they can get away, they will try to get away with whatever we allow them to get away with. And the American people have got to demand from our House of Representatives that they begin this inquiry for an investigation for impeachment to get to the bottom of it, because we're not going to get there any other way. They have stonewalled. They have not given us any information regarding their actions. And they talk about, the Obama administration talks about, well, it's still under investigation. No, no, we're not talking about the investigation regarding the massacre of the four Americans. We're talking about the investigation of the Obama administration and their decisions that they made regarding those four Americans. You know, that's what we want investigated, because they are responsible. They are as responsible as the ones who did the actual killing. And it is not acceptable. It will never be acceptable, but unless the American people demand it, it won't happen. So we've got to lobby our representatives in the House, because the Constitution says that the House of Representatives has the sole power of impeachment. That is, they have to prepare a formal charge, the filing. They have to file it, a formal charge against President Obama, against Hillary Clinton, against the David Petraeus, against Leon Panetta, you know, to proceed with this, so that they will have to give an answer. The House of Representatives also is responsible for preparing the prosecution, the prosecution of them, and so that way we get to see the list of the charges. And then in the trial, which takes place in the Senate, with the Chief Justice, John Roberts, presiding over that trial, because it would be the president, then the House is they are the prosecuting attorneys, those House members that are going to be on the committee bringing the filing of the charges. So they will actually be the ones who lay out those charges and persuade the jury, which is the Senate, who would then vote whether to remove these people from political office. You know, but the House has to do the filing of the charges. So it's the House that we must lobby.
Ms. Barbara, you know, I'm looking at this book, and it's funny because here is they're talking about the crossing the Delaware, which does, you know, which was a biggest point in that, you know, in our war for independence. And I'm thinking, you know, we're kind of at that crossroad, Dawn. And you know, again, our military is in the middle of it, because we want true freedom. But can we really do it without our military? It's almost like we're leaving them behind. Can we really afford to leave this issue behind and go on? Because I think if we leave them behind, I don't see how we can win anything anyway that's worth winning. Dawn? Oops, did I lose Dawn? Hey, Dawn, did I lose you, Dawn? I don't hear Dawn.
Well,
but anyway.
Diana?
Okay, go ahead.
Something that's important to remember about the crossing of the ice-filled Delaware River on Christmas night, it was after General Washington had asked Congress for a day of fasting and prayer, a national day of fasting and prayer, he got the idea for the crossing of the Delaware on Christmas night. And I think that's so important, because it was, I believe, that it had been such a matter of prayer for General Washington and the people, that even though all his council, his generals, disagreed with him, and but yet he, General Washington, went forward with this plan, and I believe it because he knew that God had given him the plan, because he would not listen to any of his generals who tried to dissuade him. He had a just a will of steel regarding this, and he had written, he was writing a note, and he wrote the words victory or death. This was at a time when the recruits, their time was fulfilled, and he was going to lose most of his army, if not all of it, in the new year. It's Christmas night. And, you know, he had to have a victory. He had to have a victory if the war was going to continue, because he was going to have no army to keep on fighting the war. So he had to have a victory. It was not optional. So he asked the day of prayer and fasting for the nation, and I believe that he felt God gave him the plan. And, you know, it was such a miracle. Oh, my, it was such a miracle, this victory at Trenton. We did not lose one man in battle. Not one. We had two officers that were wounded, one of which was James Monroe, who later became President of the United States. He was wounded there at that battle, and one other person. And we were able to capture the Hessians there, who were in camp there, totally surprised them, caught them off guard, and we were able to capture all their artillery, which we had to have, all their supply, you know, and many of those Hessians, they were mercenaries, they were hired guns that King George III had employed to fight against the Americans. And many of those Hessians, those from Germany, later stayed in this country and became citizens here. They saw something in the American people that they admired and respected, and they wanted to be part of it. But, I mean, it was just miracle after miracle.
Wow.
That occurred in that battle of Trenton on Christmas night. But it was God's hand. God's hand.
And hi, Dawn. Can you hear us? Oh, sorry, Ms. Barbara. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Oh, I was going to say, and then afterwards, after that great victory, General Washington decided to go ahead and pursue on to Princeton and to take Princeton. There were British troops there at Princeton, right there where Dr. Witherspoon, they had taken over Princeton. But anyway, so what General Washington did was Cornwallis was after him. And for some reason, we know it was God's hand, but Cornwallis didn't pursue him. He decided to wait until morning. He said, I'll catch the old fox in the morning. I'll bag him in the morning, I think is what he said. And so they settled down. Cornwallis and his troops settled down for the night. Well, General Washington Again, it was God all the way. He kept the fires burning. He kept the fires burning in the American campsite. And he took his men, and they quietly, I mean, they even wrapped the wagon wheels in cloth to quietly headed out toward Princeton, and they surprised the British troops at Princeton, right after Trenton, and it was a glorious victory. And Washington, General Washington said, "Parade with me, my fine fellows. The day is ours," and it was glorious.
Oh, wow, Miss Barbara. That is glorious. Don, can you hear us now?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, oh, good, good. Well, Don, tell us your thoughts.
In general, or?
Okay. Well, let me say this, okay. With that in mind, you know, it just really hits me how God has parallels. You know, in the Bible, you see so many parallels, you know. We talked about Daniel earlier today. You know, Daniel had his dreams and visions, which, you know, maybe of what happens in the end times. And I'm just thinking of this. We've always said, you know, we're back to the days of tyranny. It's what I've heard many people have said, Don. And how amazing it is that, you know, here's this story, and it's like it's a coming back to what made America great. It certainly wasn't America. It was God who really fought for us in our battles. It was God, you know. And I'm thinking we're there again. It's like it's time for the American people to get it back right, because for a long time they've forgotten or have not been taught.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do, too, with having moved into this industrial age and then into the technology age, because I think that when life was more simple, when life was, you know, literally about if you got food because you farmed, you know, your family survived because you farmed, or, you know, possibly you worked in a city, but the majority of people didn't even, you know, live in a city. So you depended on your community, you depended on your church, you depended on your neighbors. Most places were very close-knit, you know, especially the original 13 colonies. So I think it was a given. You know, having had pilgrims and Puritans that came here, amongst others, that came here to freely worship and to freely practice their religion openly, you know, I think it was a much simpler time. I didn't, you know, there wasn't the distractions. You know, there wasn't, you know, you learned to read so that you could read the Bible. You learned to read by reading the Bible. You know, the moral code of the society was very, through whatever religious philosophy people had, it was a given. You know, you knew what was right and what was wrong, and morally and ethically, and the standard was very high to meet those. And I think with every distraction that we have, people have become, they've forgotten about that simplicity. I think one of the great things about what is happening to us economically is it's really forcing people to get back to a simpler time. And it is forcing people, I think, to have to reevaluate what truly is important in your life. Is it the latest and greatest? Is it the new car? Is it the bigger house? Is it the new piece of technology? Or is it the fact that since you can't afford the big vacation, guess what? You're staying closer to home and you're spending more time with your kids. A lot of companies have cut back on travel, so fathers are home more. You know, I just think it's, everything that has happened to us economically, as much as it's hurt us, I think there's also this great reawakening of community spirit that we lost. And you saw those people, the founders of this nation, the heroes to us, the people who, and by the way, would have never considered themselves heroes. They were just doing what they thought was right, like Washington and Jefferson and Franklin and, you know, so, and Adams. So, you know, these people had a standard that we have fallen from. That's the one thing I noticed about the Tea Party that was one of the great benefits to it, is that as much as they originally said we didn't mean anything, we were fad, we were going to go away, what it really did was, I think it raised the bar. Again, the standard has changed for what you will accept in elected, what you will accept in behavior, what you will accept in direction. People are raising the bar again. It's not good enough. And that is what makes us great, because the more they start raising the bar and the standard on moral and ethical behavior, the more they come back to God and what founded this country and what made it great, which has always been our Judeo-Christian belief and the fact that we could openly, you know, practice our religion. And that has been part of our government since the beginning. It has been part of this, the fabric that has been woven in this nation. And try as they might, those that are non-believers, the atheists, the objectivists, the, you know, leftist progressives, to do away with it, frankly, the same thing that has happened throughout time is that people stand up, especially in this country, because we were built on this.
Oh, indeed. And I talk about that Judge Moore interview with Kirk Cameron did was wonderful. What a young man. Love that Kirk Cameron also. But, you know, they talk about the Declaration of Independence, which I've always heard Judge Moore say, you know, really the base, the foundation really is God's word. And, you know, the Declaration of Independence is the organic law. And what does that mean? It really means that the Constitution is the working order. It is the marching orders to the Declaration. And in the Declaration, it says that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator. So, you know, when we take that out, and, you know, now it's like it, when Kirk Cameron and him talked, they talked about it just like, you know, he has sovereignty over his family. And, you know, you have sovereignty over your family. You know, I can't tell you how to run your family, but yet you and me are under God. You know, God is sovereign over us, and that's like our government, that's like our churches. You know, they're under God. No, the government doesn't tell the church what to do, but yet, you know, we are both under God, and God's law trumps man's made-up laws, because if it's not following God's laws, it's really not a law. It should not be considered a law. But we have wiped out that understanding of God being sovereign to the point that we have welcomed all these other faiths to be able to have their say in the conversation. And that's not really the intent of the Founding Fathers. Right, Ms. Barbara?
Well, that's right. And, you know, God ordained the church. He instituted the church. And God ordained and instituted government after the Great Flood. And he instituted and ordained both, both being subject to him. The church is subject to God, and the government is subject to God. Different functions, just like in the Old Testament, the priests had a different jurisdiction, and they had a different function from the leader of Israel. Both were subject to God, but they had different functions. And so that's how it is with the church, the body of Christ, which in 1776 was 98.8% self-proclaimed Christians, and the remainder being Jewish. You know, the difference, the church, the Christian church in the United States, and the government that Christians established with biblical principles as the foundation, both being subject to God. And so this attack and assault on the church and the government being subject to God. This is not only totally wrong, but it will eventually accomplish the demise of self-government, because self-government is God's idea, and only a virtuous, Bible-believing, God-fearing people, virtuous, moral people, are capable of self-government. That's why you can't go into a country that's ruled by savages and expect them to govern themselves. The Founding Fathers certainly didn't believe that. And we who study the Founding Fathers don't believe that. It's an impossible situation. You're not going to create a self-governing nation because you want to. It has to be built from the bottom up. And it requires knowledge and the right application of knowledge. And I'm talking about biblical knowledge. This whole realm, there's so much more, Diana. There's so much more to this than is talked about today. But I appreciate y'all so very much, and it's time for me to depart. So I'll just
okay, Miss Barbara.
Bless you both. Okay,
well, thank you, Miss Barbara. We'll talk to you. You'll be talking tomorrow with Mr. Wayne. Well, Donna, and I think we come back to this thing that, you know, we're all part of that body. And, you know, if one part of the body is missing, you know, it's kind of hard to walk on one leg. And I think I see this Benghazi gate as part of that. You know, we cannot leave our men behind. And for us to not even try to attempt what Ms. Barbara has been saying, when we have a majority Republican in this Armed Services Committee in the House of Representatives, I just cannot imagine how we would not even try.
But you have to remember, having a majority in the House of Republicans is not the same as having a majority of conservatives in the House. I mean, we've all learned that in the last 5 years, is that, you know, the idea that somebody is a Republican doesn't necessarily equate to the fact that they're truly a conservative, which is why we have the term RINO, Republican in name only. And with the shift, now that we're seeing by the hierarchy, Boehner to kick off from some of the committees, some of the truly what they consider right-wing Republicans, so the conservative Republicans, off of key committees, there's a power struggle happening within the party, and there has been for years. It's those that want to retain power, keep power, versus those that are true conservatives that want to get back to the business of the government governing and helping the country, not getting in its way. So I think, you know, as long as this, we have this battle within the Republican Party going on, you know, it's going to be an issue. And I think people, you know, more and more people have been leaving that particular party and becoming independents or declined to state or nonpartisan or whatever it is in their state, because they're just fed up. You know, you look at a party system, it really doesn't hold as much to your value as it did for a majority of people who joined, when they joined the party. So, you know, it's easy to see why things are happening the way they are, because it's not as if we have a majority of conservatives.
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. But you would think that these people are so pro-patriotism, pro-military, that I cannot believe that, you know, the American people, I'm sure, is calling. I don't know if we're not calling enough or what, but I'm hoping that we will. So I'm going to keep posting, and I think I'm going to start posting their phone numbers and facts, and hopefully, you know, we get some kind of a fax or something sent to them, petition. I know that thankfully, that UN Convention on the Right of a Disabled, you know, a child was not approved. I can't remember, UNCRPD, that's all I can remember, the word, the letters to it, but don't know what each one stands for. But thank God that did not pass. So I know,
but
I
you
would
have
think
a
lot of people called.
You have a government, yeah, you hope, because you have a government that was really upset. You have Steny Hoyer in the House being very upset that this was not passed. So when you see that we have a government that is fully on board with turning the last bit of power that we have of our own governing over to a third party, you know, we have to remain really vigilant. These people are ready to give up the ghost, to sell the farm off and to put it in control of people who have no idea what this country is about, what it's been founded on, what its ideals are, what its people think, and they don't really care. That's the point. They don't care. We're going to have a set of guidelines for you and rules for you to follow because that's what's good for everybody. Well, this isn't a democracy. I hate to break it to you guys, but it is not a democracy. Our form of government is a republic.
Well, we need those names. Did I hear the McCain what for this also?
Oh, please. John McCain should have given up the ghost so long ago. Hearing him flip-flop. Here's a guy that said all this stuff about Benghazi and how horrible it was, but when the rubber needed to meet the road and he needed to be in that committee, was he? No, he wasn't there.
Well, that's why I'm wondering. Are they the spokesperson for the Democrats, but putting up a front first and then going down in the fight? You know, I almost feel like that's what happens because they're always the first ones to speak, but then you find them, they're always the first one to give, too. So, you know, just, you're right, his time has gone. So, but
well,
anyway,
here's my other thing about this. All this talk back and forth about the fiscal cliff, it doesn't matter, ad issue here, about compromise. Really would be nice if Republicans, just for once, stood up and said, you know what, we're not going to compromise, because the definition of compromise is to give up your principles and your values, and we're not going to do that. It'd be nice to see one hero stand up and say that instead of, oh, we have to compromise, has to be a bipartisan solution. You know what? Don't let it be bipartisan. Let the Democrats bite the apple and eat the worm all by themselves.
Well, God take a miracle. God take a miracle. But as always, we like to give it to God in prayer. And John Bernard hopefully will join us in a couple of weeks. There's so much going on with our military. And this is really just really maddening when, you know, we do need to find out. We know what happened. It's just not coming out. but it's so fine. We should give all these things to God in prayer.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again today, as we do every day, and ask you to continue to look after our nation, to look after its people. There are many people coming back to you. I think as a nation, we are coming back to you, albeit slowly. We still are. I think we have learned that freedom isn't free and our liberty isn't just a statement that's on a bumper sticker. We have many people that are coming back to the light, that are insisting on truth, that are heeding the call and heeding the warnings. So please continue to look after our nation. Please continue to look after our elected. Ask them to be wise. Ask them to be men of courage and conviction. Ask them to be men who are not about compromising our principles and values. And we want to thank you for the men that are exactly that way. Judge Roy Moore, Kirk Cameron, so many pastors we deal with, Jesse Lee Peterson, Bishop Jackson, people who are truly, waving the flag and warning people that if we don't get it right, there won't be anything left to get right. So we ask for all of this and the protection of our military at home and abroad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dawn. And maybe one of these Fridays, which is, you know, usually your Tea Party day, maybe you can get Reverend Peterson to come on with us. That would be so awesome. I've not, you know, heard from him in a while, but I know you get to talk to him. But also tomorrow is going to be, you know, Pastor Wayne will be on with you if you'd like to come on. But Thursday for sure, we've got our two Jewish friends, Don Luden, who's going to be calling us from Jerusalem, and also our friends in Virginia. Yeah, so come on Thursday.
Absolutely.
We'd love for you to hear them. So anyway, well, guess what? It is that time to end the show. As always, we are so grateful for you who are listening. We ask that you pass it on. Go to www.cityonhill.tv. We have got some fantastic podcasts that really will encourage you. And, you know, God is so good. He said his word will not pass away. And he said man does not live on bread alone. So get a hold of his promises. It's for life. It's for you. God bless you. Bye, Don. Thank you.
Bye, Diana.
God bless you, listeners. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.